Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and after a week of traveling, I'm back in my wonderful home office on the Pacific Northwest where the sun is shining. It's cool fall temperatures, and oh, it's just great to be back. I'm so delighted. And today we're going to be having as a guest Susan Harmon, who has quite a background in the metaphysical area. And we're also going to be talking about a very special event that's going to be coming up in the Pacific Northwest called the Emerald Spiral Expo. But we're going to be going into that in just a moment. And I want to welcome you, Susan, to the program.
Well, thank you, Donna. It's a real delight to be speaking with you today.
Well, Susan, you and I actually have crossed paths more than once through the years in different venues, but one of the most recent encounters was this past spring when you and your team of people took over an activity that Boeing Parapsychology Club had had for, I think, gee whiz, it's been like 39 years, and that is the Boeing Parapsychology Expo, and that is coming up in a couple of weeks. But you are a woman of a very interesting background. You have been involved in metaphysics for so many years, and you especially have an affinity for crystals and stones. But tell us how you became involved in the psychic metaphysical environment.
I was born.
Okay.
I actually grew up in a family, maybe what the indigo and the crystal children are experiencing now, because what separates them mostly is a support system. In my family, everybody remembered other lives. Mm-hmm. My mother thought it was perfectly normal to pick up the phone and say, what's going on? When she could feel these things. And my grandmother, her mother, was a member of the Theosophical Society that brought Yogananda to the United States. My father's father's mother was a well-known Dutch psychic, so it comes through both lines of my family.
Fascinating.
And, you know, this to me all seemed very, very normal. And I remember my mother, when Shirley MacLaine came out with her book, Out on a Limb, going, what's the big deal? Doesn't everybody know about other lives? So that is the background that I came into. And in fact, I kid about being born twice in this lifetime.
Now, why do you say that?
Well, my mother discovered she was pregnant with me when her appendix burst.
Oh, wow. What a discovery that would have been.
That was in August of 1942. And they cut her open, found out she was pregnant, lifted me up outside of her, cleaned her out, put me back in, sewed her up, and said she would abort because a two-month-old fetus could not survive that traumatic of an experience. And 7 months later, in a snowstorm in Chicago, I was born in March. And what's interesting to me about this is my rising sign is Leo.
Mm-hmm.
So that first emergence was Leo, like, oops, too soon, must go back.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. You know, there's so many things in life that when people share their stories, like you have just shared, about how your entry into this world was a bit unexpected. In fact, it was just the opposite, and yet you survived a pregnancy and obviously have had a very, very interesting life coming from a family that had quite a bit of the psychic intuitive element where they didn't think anything of it, that this is something to many, many people is fascinating and intriguing because for many individuals, this is not, in their everyday environment, a very common happening. Now, here you've gone this, but how did you know that you wanted to be involved with crystals? And there may be people listening to this and thinking, oh, good Lord, we have got two dingbat females here talking about crystals. This is all woo-woo stuff. But the reality is, if you have an understanding of crystal energy, and let's just talk scientifically for a moment, it's
yes.
a reality. We use crystals in all kinds of electronic medium, and they know for a fact in quantum physics about the energy frequencies of crystals mm-hmm. and how they affect different things. But how did you evolve into that? I mean, your mom and your family all were very comfortable. Oh, yeah, hey, I raised ducks in, you know, in 800 BC or something, and
right.
I'm being a little sassy here, but you know what I'm saying. And it's no big deal to go, oh, yeah, right, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. wasn't that a fun life? No, thanks, I didn't enjoy living in the mud and with the bugs. Mm-hmm. But here you are in this life experience in a family that is so comfortable with this. What made you choose to become, let's say, more focused on crystals and stones? Because isn't that an area that you really, really enjoy?
It is an area that I really, really enjoy. And part of it is just simply being open to how guidance moves you and listening and following what you hear. Now, all children pick stones up. That's just a normal part of being a kid. Some of my most wonderful stones on my altar are from my grandchildren, and they may not be the fanciest stones I have, but the energies are still wonderful, even if they look like a rock to somebody mm-hmm. else. Stones are so much a part of us. We're all carbon-based life form. You know, I used to lecture on crystals and healing all over the United States for the Gem and Mineral shows. And I remember one day a man saying, I don't believe in any of that, crystals and healing. And I said, well, do you go to the doctor? He said, yes. I said, has he ever used an electronic microscope? Just like you were saying a minute ago, Donna, mm-hmm. you know, the electronics. I said, he said, yes. I said, well, then you're using crystals for healing because that microscope does not work without quartz.
Mm-hmm.
Fiber optics, that's quartz. So all of these things, and we as carbon-based life forms ourselves, have crystalline formations within our bodies. So there is a vibration that works with that. And I, as a child, I remember making little villages for the fairies when we lived in Japan, and then making them out of crystals when we lived in Arkansas later, and picking up the stones, and I could just feel so much from the stones. And as, you know, time has gone on, instead of it getting less for me, it's gotten more where, I'm schlepping these little babies all over the place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband likes to call himself a rock roadie, you know, carrying all these stuff.
Well, he must stay in pretty good physical shape if you have to lift a bunch of these rocks with you everywhere you go.
Yeah, well, you know, just work with them on how that they want to be worked with, and listening to them. That's what a lot of people don't know with the stones is they want to say, what does this stone do for me? If I take a lapis, what does lapis do? If I take malachite, what does malachite do? Well, maybe it does and maybe it doesn't for you. Maybe you need something else. Maybe it's simply the color blue. Maybe you just need to open up your throat chakra. Do you know what I mean? There's all kinds of reasons, and one piece of malachite isn't going to do for you what another piece of malachite is going to do for you.
Now, you're making some very good points, because I'm sure people, especially the women, more so than the men, because we women typically enjoy jewelry, we typically resonate with certain colors and stones. You could have 5,000 stones in front of a person, and they'll say, I like this one, I like this one, and I like this one. And you'll have, 500 people, and they're all going to want something different, and that's because there is a resonance between yourself and something else. I know I absolutely love pearls. And this is something that recently I acquired a lovely necklace of pearls, but these pearls were not all white. Usually if you think of pearls, you think of pearls just being this wonderful white. And, of course, the more you wear them, the more they become more luminous
mm-hmm.
from the oils of your skin, but it's how they relate to you. But these were pearls that were incredibly beautiful in color, purples and just all kinds of variances of tones, and I was intrigued with it. It was absolutely wonderful. And then there was this beautiful pink quartz that went along with the pearls, but there was this harmony of tonalities. And I can remember the lady showing me all kinds of various things that she had, but I specifically knew what I wanted. I mean, there were pretty things, but it's like I didn't want to wear it. I didn't want to put it on. And this is how we relate to stones.
Absolutely.
But stones can have particular qualities for healing. And I remember someone years ago that I interacted with. She was just a very talented lady, and her grandmother, not unlike the members of your family, had specific talents with reading stones, and she taught her granddaughter, and her granddaughter just did a marvelous job. And she could find out more about a person within 5 minutes by just saying, ooh, which pretties do you like? And it was amazing, just the information that she would be able to acquire about an individual. But you mentioned something with healing that I think is very, very important, and you said, let's say, malachite. You might find one piece that works, but another one would not. What makes the difference in the resonance of harmonic with an individual, even if you have, you know, people will say, well, malachite is malachite. What difference would there be there?
Well, people are people. It's the same. It's saying the same thing, and yet you and I resonate differently.
Mm-hmm.
You have different qualities than I do. We are both wonderful women. We both speak English. We both are involved in creating arenas for people to grow. We care about a variety of things, and we have tremendous amount of differences as well.
Yes.
But we're not interchangeable. You're your own unique being, and I'm my own unique being. And we could say, well, they're just human beings.
So
it's the same kind of thing.
Okay.
I mean, human beings vibrate differently just the same as stones do. And that's getting into a much more esoteric aspect of stones. You know, it's like saying, I work with sound as well, like saying, this note goes with this chakra.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that may be a good starting place, but it's very simplistic and it's very rudimentary, and it's not really, you know, an in-depth, a really true understanding of how all of this works.
Gotcha. And I think that that is very significant. So if one of our listeners who is listening to this, and again, we're speaking with Susan Harmon, who is the founder of Emerald Spiral here in the Pacific Northwest, and there is a very special event that's going to be coming up, which we'll be mentioning in a few minutes. For those of you who are listening from Washington, that is going to be occurring on the 25th of this month, which is a Saturday, and we'll be giving you more information in a minute. You are bringing up some very, very good points about the individuality of resonating with things. So if someone said, I've loved crystals, I love being involved with the stones, what are some of the first steps? You talk about listening, the resonating with the stones. If someone is in the environment of healing and they would like to be able to expand their knowledge with this, I don't find, Susan, a whole bunch of people that are educated like yourself regarding the variances of value of stones, et cetera. Where would you recommend somebody begin? I mean, are there certain books they could read? What would
you
recommend?
There are some good basic books. Melody has written a wonderful book. Well, she's written a couple of them. She put a lot of time and energy and research into it, and it's a good basic foundation. Ilea Leyland has a book online on stones and what they connect with. Robert Simmons has written another good book with some beautiful photographs in it. All of these are things that give you information, and they're a good thing to have on hand.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like learning to swim by reading a book. You can learn how your arms move. You can learn how you flutter your feet and, you know, how you move your legs in a scissoring or a whatever motion. But until you get in the water you will only have a rudimentary knowledge, not a, and a very surfacey kind of knowledge. So the books are a starting place.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to really truly do, I mean, I'm going to be doing a 6-week series starting in October, you know, on classes that will incorporate stones and sound and a whole lot of things. But that's still just a tiny little piece of what somebody needs. What you have to do is actually do it yourself. Go and check out the stones. See what your eye is drawn to. That's the first thing. What is my eye drawn to? Then see what you feel. Well, sometimes people will just run their hands above the stones and see what they're feeling. Now, this doesn't happen for me anymore, hasn't done it in years, because I'm so totally a stone myself, as opposed to being a stoner. Anyway, if you put a stone in your hand, sometimes it'll go hot, it'll go cold, it'll tingle. These things don't mean different things. That's just the way you and the stone are interacting.
Mm-hmm.
So hot, cold, tingling, or just a shifting of energy. Each person has to find out how their interaction is with that stone or with other things. And I'll give you an example of this. A couple of years ago, I did, and I do it every year, this little science fiction convention, and I did little stones in little plastic bags as part of their goodie bag, you know, that they get at registration.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, come to, you know, my booth for stone identification and all. And when I was putting these together, there was this really beautiful stone. It was probably about 3 inches long, magnificent Madagascar thing. I'm like, oh, I'm keeping that. And guidance says, no, you have to put it in the bag. I'm like, oh, damn, I hate it when that happens, right? So I put it in the bag. This woman comes up to the booth and she said, I just want to tell you, I never believed it. Any of this stuff people said about stones. When I opened up this bag and touched this stone, it shot electricity through my entire body. I've never had an experience like that. Yeah, like looking up, yes, guidance, I know that you know more than I. But this is what this is about. People, she had never had the experience other people had. Until she had it herself, it didn't seem real. Mm-hmm. So people have to find their own experiences.
Does that
make sense to you?
Yes, it does. It makes a great deal of sense. And that is what I think is so challenging to people.
Yes.
Because
you have to live your own life,
yes.
Not just read a book about it.
Well, not only that, but what I learned when I was a student, and it's an ongoing lesson. I don't think I've ever totally gotten there, because there's always different extensions of experience we can step into. But what I learned is that what is of value to someone else is not necessarily of value to me at all, and
mm-hmm.
it is not my place really to judge. One of the most difficult lessons that I learned that I had to really absorb is that when you are learning, you don't make it good, you don't make it bad, you don't make it indifferent. You keep an open mind and you're curious. And you will say, am I going to respond to this? And sometimes people, I know I've had students like you have had, they may not respond to certain things, but to something else, they will just do absolutely awesome. And you go, holy Moses, I didn't have a clue that you would resonate in this way or feel so comfortable with certain things. I remember one woman who was a student of mine, she was exceptional as a dowser. Any other kind of intuitive flow just didn't seem to work for her. But yet, put a pair of dowsing rods in her hand, and she just was absolutely incredible.
And even when you've been doing this a long time, which mm-hmm. I have in this lifetime, I mean, I love stones. I work with them. The Vogel cut crystals leave me cold. I get nothing from them. And I have friends that, oh my God, the Vogel crystal. You know, so they don't do anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they don't do something for someone else.
Right.
And that's where the issue comes in. Just because I have a certain experience doesn't mean I can be disrespectful to your experience.
And that's one of the things that I think for our listeners, too, that's so important to understand. We all have to discover those components of ourselves that is our particular harmonic. There are some people, for example, in healing, they can do it with the healing with the hands-on application. With others, that doesn't work. Others may want to do some other modality. And it's fine. The key is not to box yourself in, because as you're learning, just like with you and the stones, every time you reach a particular level and you think, oh, goody, goody, I've got it all together, suddenly there appears to be a cloud lift and you go, oh my gracious, I didn't realize that it was an extension of the plateau. Excuse me. Now I've got to expand my knowledge in another area. And it's an ongoing process. You never really get there, which I think is so significant.
And where there is, I have no idea. All you have is the moment. And, I mean, like right now, last summer I was combining these black Tibetan quartz that had been glacier tumbled, and I picked up the celestial. The girls were sorting them in the pyramid. I went, hold it, don't move. And I ran back and got these celestials. I said, put this one in that hand, that one in that hand. Let's see what happens. And, oh, my God, the energy was incredible. And everybody's had that experience with them. So that have tried it. There's been maybe two people that were like, I don't get anything. I'm okay, well, it's not for you. Mm-hmm. And so then this year I was doing, in February, adding an Arkansas quartz to this triad. The triad energy of these three stones combined is just amazing. And then I was told to do a fourth stone that changes, and it's a dimensional shifter. And this is something I've been doing these experiments with now, and I'm going to be meeting some people here in the next day or two that I'm going to continue, getting some other stones to see how that works, and we'll be introducing that in Tucson in February, this whole way of working with stones, which is going to help people make this major dimensional shift, as we're moving into the fifth sun.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
other names it can be called.
mm-hmm. Well, I think that this is absolutely wonderful. Now, I do want, because of your background, because of what you have been so immersed in for most of your life in the psychic area, dealing with crystals and stones, and obviously you do readings for people and you're involved in teaching, you have all of these different applications. One of the events that you have now been in charge of, and this is relatively new for this year, is the Emerald Spiral Expo that has basically taken the Boeing Parapsychology Expo underneath its wing and is keeping this 39-year traditional program that brings in people from all over the state and even from different parts of the country into, it's in spring as well as in fall, and we've got this wonderful event that is coming up in just a couple of weekends, and that's on the 25th of September. And this event, I think, is so special. I've been involved with it for years, and it's, to me, it is one of the most wonderful environments for people to come into. I call it a safe environment. If you're wanting, let's say you've always been interested in the psychic area, you would love to be able to go someplace and feel like you weren't going to end up with a bunch of kooks. And this expo is absolutely first class as far as I'm concerned. It's not huge. It's just absolutely wonderful. It's being held at the Kent Commons. Tell us what's going to be going on there this in the next couple of weeks.
Well, thank you, Don, on that. We have, as you know, last spring we took it over 5 weeks before the event to keep it from dying. And it has been something that served the community incredibly well. It's a wonderful event. I've participated as a vendor there myself, you know, for years, mm-hmm. selling stones, as you have participated. It has a wide variety of readers and healers and people selling jewelry, Tibetan clothes, other kind of books, all kinds of things. And they're just a delightful group of people. And it changes all the time is the other thing that's exciting about it. I mean, it's one of those things you can make a whole day of. It doesn't cost anything to get in. There's no admission fee. There's lots of parking there at the Kent Commons. There's door prizes every hour. We're also, this year, we're giving our volunteers prizes as well as the door prizes. We've got a full snack bar there, so you can make a day of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just did not want to see something that was that valuable disappear. And so we've kept it going, and there are fewer members of the Emerald Spiral working on it than the Boeing Employees Parapsychology Club, but those same members of BEPC are still working on the expo. They're still involved, and they still think it's a wonderful thing. So they were just absolutely fantastic people, and they put so much effort into it, and we really, really honored that, and are very grateful that they're still being involved with it.
Now, the website is emeraldspiral.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
They can go and they can check it out. Now, one of the things that I did want to mention, which I have, whenever I've been involved with the expo, I have always told people, it's the type of environment that you want to go around and you want to actually talk to the vendors.
Correct.
Because the people that are there are unpretentious, and they are very open, and regardless whether they're selling crystals, whether they're selling clothing, whether they're a psychic like myself or, you know, involved with stones as you are, there is this openness of communication that I think that has made this event for so many years so successful. So for those of you in the Pacific Northwest, circle the 25th of September on your calendar. Kent Commons, the direction to get there, it's in Kent, Washington, the directions on how to get there. You'll have all of that information. Just go to emeraldspiral.com and you will
and click on the expo page, and everything mm-hmm. is there. The link to Kent Commons and the list of vendors and the speakers. So,
and yeah. You're going to be addressing something in particular this time, and it's on in working with intuitive children, which is
absolutely.
Yes.
We're calling the panel Parenting the Intuitive Child because more and more of the souls coming through don't want to have to wait till they're 40.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, too, because of the fast pace of change
right.
that we have evolved just with technology in the last 10 years alone, just in the last 10 years.
Yes.
It has been so incredible that the children of this time frame are literally being brought in because they've got to keep up with this stuff. So what worked earlier is at a whole different pace today.
Correct.
And we've got so many issues that they, as adults, we may be able to assist, but they're the ones that are going to be the custodians of everything that is left.
Yes.
So this is something that I think talking about working with the child and their intuitive processes is wonderful, and you're going to have a panel on that. So I know we're just about out of time, but I did want to mention, again, go to emeraldspiral.com. Go to the expo link, and you will find all of the details. If you're in the state of Washington, you want to be sure that you come and attend this event on September the 25th. The hours are 9 to 5. And it is marvelous, and I do hope you'll stop by and say hello to Susan and as well as myself. But know that activities like this are an open door for you to walk through to explore the questions that you may have yourself. Maybe you're having experiences and you want to know more. Susan, I know you're getting ready to go on a trip, and you're leaving tomorrow. Your schedule is quite intense. And
I'm buying more stones.
Buy more stones. Okay,
right.
The partners have got to make sure their backs are in good shape. Yes. All right, Susan, it's been a delight having you as a guest. People can find out more about the Emerald Spiral itself. But if you're interested in the expo, too, go to emeraldspiral.com. And don't forget the event on September 25th. Susan, thank you for being my guest today.
It's been a delight, Donna.
Have a wonderful day and a fabulous trip. This is Donna Spivo. We are taking a break. And we will be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Oh, it's so good to be back in the Pacific Northwest. We had a great time in Las Vegas. And by the way, I want to make a comment. I have heard people say that when they're in Las Vegas, that they encounter some cold individuals. Well, I got news for you. I think it has a lot to do with your attitude. Because everywhere that we went, we encountered nothing but warmth and friendliness. And that was from the waiters and waitresses that served us in various places to even the shuttle driver that we had taking us to the airport yesterday. His name was Roberto. And Roberto was a philosopher, had this wonderful attitude. I have no idea how old this man was. He could have been older than God for all I know. And he was just like about 5'4", 5'5" in height. He had this disposition that was just absolutely wonderful. He said, I don't have time for negative in my life. I don't care what's going on with other people. If they want to wallow in it, that's fine. But life is good. I feel very blessed. He was Mexican-American. He was very proud of what he had lived through in this country. And he just had such a wonderful attitude and gave us hugs. I mean, how many of you here have hugging shuttle drivers? Not many, but he was one. So I want to say thank you to Roberto because he was a very, very gracious man. And people are people no matter where you go. And I think when you take the time to recognize others, like if you have a waiter or a waitress, look at their name tag. If they don't have one, ask them their name. Use their name when you're talking to them. I had a conversation with someone who has many family members that work in the hospitality industry, and one of the members of the family was an aunt. She had been a maid for 40 years, and during this time, that's all she did was change beds, clean toilets, make sure rooms were just absolutely wonderful. And this person commented to me saying, so often we just take for granted what we experience in hotels. We don't realize the people that are behind the scenes, making sure that your meals are cooked, making sure that things are clean, and they are the faceless energy of accomplishment that often are never recognized or talked down to when they are recognized by people, as if what they do is very demeaning, and it is not. We need people to be able to work in all levels of professionalism and environments, and my cap is off to them because I want to say thank you. Everywhere we went, whether it was a sales clerk or a maid or a waiter or a waitress or, again, the happy hugger shuttle driver, they were just absolutely marvelous. And these were people that were sincere, and they brought joy into our day. And I want you to know, those of you that perhaps are listening, if sometimes you feel like you're not appreciated, know that you are, because without you, we wouldn't be able to enjoy many of the things that we experience. And I mean, these are people from all walks of life, from all cultural backgrounds, all kinds of cultural backgrounds, and every one of them have a story to share that I think is significant to listen to. So don't take others for granted, and don't think that they are faceless without lives. They are people, just like you are people. So when you take time to acknowledge them and respect them, and I know there are some that can be some schmucks at times, but I'll tell you what, I guess we're just very fortunate because we find that people usually treat us as graciously as we treat them. Very rarely have we encountered in our travels individuals that were downright obnoxious and rude. Very, very rarely. And sometimes we'd find out later, maybe if someone was having a bad day, that there was some particular reason why that was the case. So whenever you're traveling, realize if you treat people the way you would like to be treated and with courtesy and graciousness, I think you're going to find that you're going to get that extra special service that you would otherwise perhaps not even expect. So I want to thank the people of Las Vegas that made our trip so very, very special. We made some new friends, and more than anything else, it is just a joy to be there. It is far removed from the old Bugsy Siegel environment. It's not what you think of in that respect at all. This is Donna Sebo. Hey, telephone lines are open, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is the toll-free number for you to call in to, and that is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And remember, if this is the first time you are going to call in, I just need your first name or your initial. And then after that, let me tell you what I perceive. And then, of course, you can ask me a question about anything that is important to you, that's significant to you, about anyone, anything, any situation. I don't mind. So give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. Now, I do need to let you know, tomorrow we have had scheduled Eric von Daniken's associate, Giorgio Tussolalos, and he is not able to make the show tomorrow because he's out on a shoot with the History Channel. This has come up, and their agent called me and said, we'd like to reschedule, so we're not going to be talking about Twilight of the Gods. So I know we've got a caller on the line, so I just want to finish this up. So please know we are going to be rescheduling, Giorgio, and then I will let you know when that happens. But hey, let's face it, if you've got a filming that with the History Channel, that is something that when it happens, and you have to go with it. Also this week, we're going to be talking about laughter, tears, and silent. Pragito Dove is going to be my guest, and then on Friday, Ripley's Believe It or Not, Tim O'Brien has been a guest more than once on this show, and of course, I am a real fan of Ripley's Believe It or Not. I love the weird, the unusual, the phenomenal, and he's going to be with us, a brand new book. These books are gorgeous, by the way. Make great gifts. Enter If You Dare. Ah, yes, we're going to be talking about some unique things on Friday. Great lineup, and I want you to know tomorrow's going to be an open mic day the entire hour. Okay, let's go to our first caller of the day. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Julie. I'm calling from Middleton, Wisconsin.
Oh, hi, Julie. Are you feeling the coolness of fall in Wisconsin?
Yes.
Oh, don't you just love it? I do.
I really do.
I just think it has, it's almost as if fall has its own perfume. That may sound a little weird, but here in the Pacific Northwest, you can smell it. You really can smell it change. All right, Julie,
I'm
let's
really
get down. Oh, I'm so glad. Julie, let's get down to business with you. Right off the bat, the first thing I'm looking at is don't be discouraged because you don't feel like you have control over certain environments as you would like. I want you to be able to sort of step back because you've had a lot of agitation. These last 2 to 3 months, I just feel like my insides are being whipped with an egg beater. It's just like, and just when I get things settled down, it's like somebody comes in and says something or does something and it gets them all over again. And there's this agitation. Well, I know how that can be, and sometimes the best way to handle that kind of agitation is to take yourself for a walk. This is a good time of the year to do it. It's nice and cool. But just to get yourself out and say, I've got to settle myself down. I have to focus. I have to center myself so that I have clarity. If you do this and you're able to do it consistently, what you will find is that you are going to have a very clear directive. You are going to put together for yourself that will enable you to stay focused. It's not unlike trying to be on a food program to lose 10 pounds. You say, all right, I know I need to do this for X, Y, Z time. Not the end of the world, but this is what I have to do. Or if you have a certain writing project or anything like that, if you're in school, you know you have to do certain things by a certain time frame. This works very well with you. You really handle that well. And you need to make it okay to say no to individuals and certain situations that could cause digression into putting your energy out, scattering your energy so you don't get things done. This is a perfect time for you, I'd say within the next 2 weeks, to look at your plan, your program for action for the next 3 months. And I know the holidays are going to be coming in. Before we know it, we're going to hear the ho-ho-hos and, you know, the gobble-gobble-gobbles. I have them in reverse, but that's beside the point. It's just going to be happening. So I want you to be aware. This is the time where you determine your focus. This is the time when you don't overload yourself. Don't decide to paint the house, fix the driveway, go to school full-time, and take care of everybody in the family. It's just not going to work. You need to look at your priorities. Once you figure that out and take off a lot of unnecessary stress, you will be amazed at what you get accomplished just in the next 3 months. It's going to absolutely thrill you. But you're the one that has to make the decision. And trust me, some of the people around you aren't going to be too happy with it. That's okay. They can handle it. And then set yourself a new agenda. Give yourself, after the new year, give yourself a couple of weeks to put together your next agenda patterning and then go for it. You are going to do fabulously if you are wise and serve yourself first. What's on your mind, dear? What would you like to ask me today? Oh, well, wait a minute. Julie, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We've got to take a break. Will you stay on the phone line?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. We'll come back and take your question, Julie. Sorry, I had to look at the clock and I went, oops, time for us to just take a quick break. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Now, I'm going to be going back to Julian. If you'd like to call me, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call in. It's toll-free worldwide. Also, quickly, I want to remind you, my guest for tomorrow is out on a film shoot with the History Channel, so we're going to have to reschedule him for next month. But it'll be an open mic hour, so tell your friends, because the whole hour will be available for you to chat with me if you wanted to call in. Let's go back to Julie. My apologies, Julie, for having to stop to take that quick break. Julie, what is the question you have for me today?
My question to you is, I'm a heartbeat away from starting my own business, and I was wondering how it's going to do.
All right. You have some obstacles that are in front of you. Tell me, what kind of a business is it?
Well, it's a writing project. It's a little book that I'm hoping to have hospitals give to new parents. It's written from the child's point of view on safety projects.
All right. Now, you called it a new business. So when someone says to me, this is a new business, I'm looking at something that's of a different level. So you have designed this little booklet, and
mm-hmm.
you're wanting it to go to hospitals, et cetera. So you're looking at a specific niche market. I
Correct.
Think you are going to feel good about the response. I want you to do something for yourself, though. I want you to have a little card. Is it going to be as big as a postcard, the little booklet?
The booklet is like 8.5 by 11. It's like 56 pages.
Great. Okay, it's even bigger. So you're not talking a booklet. To me, a booklet is something that's relatively small. This
okay.
really, if it's got 56 pages, it is a book if it's 8.5 by 11, even
mm-hmm.
though it's only got 56 pages to it. I mean, a lot of children's books only have 38 pages. So you've got a book here. So let's just rephrase it a little bit, because it gives a different image. A booklet is something that's smaller, that you could just hold in your hand and maybe tuck in a purse. This is something that has a whole different approach to it. And you have a particular niche market that you want to
mm-hmm.
reach. So
mm-hmm.
I think that this is something that's going to take a lot of marketing. The success of it is what you would term a success. If you're looking at selling 10,000, 20,000, 100,000, all of these things have to be worked out by you, and you have to determine how you're going to approach the market to see if this book, if you're going to want to make it available to certain environments, pediatricians, hospitals, you know, whichever market is going to fit. But I'd like you to put an evaluation card inside that has, you know, the opportunity for people to answer the questions about your publication and then send it to you. And that'll give you a lot of good feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage you to do that, because I think you're going to find that there is a way of being able to upgrade the book in a way that maybe you add an extra page or two, or you find there's a subject matter that people are concerned with that hadn't even crossed your mind. So what
I was going to take those different topics that weren't address in the first book, and then do a follow-up with that.
Well, that's wonderful, but you have to think through how you want to do it. So I'd get feedback from people.
Okay.
I really would. And I would do a test marketing with it. How many were you going to publish the first time? Because I'm assuming this is self-published.
It's a printer kind of thing. It's not a published thing. I was going to have the printer run off about 500-600.
All right. Get some feedback from people before you make that investment. Take it to some people.
I've done that. In the back,
okay.
there's a section for parents who have questions, and it's all addresses and contacts for different nonprofits in the area, and many of them have been very, very positive about it.
Good. Be sure you get good, honest feedback. That's very, very
mm-hmm.
important. Because if you're going to make the investment of 500 to 600 books, you want to have it as polished as it possibly can be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. And then look at how you're going to market it. And that is your biggest challenge. So it's good you're starting off with a smaller amount and then having it grow. This is something that's going to be in process for about 2.5 years.
Okay.
All right. So I think you're going to have a bigger image than what you expect in about 6 months.
Oh,
which isn't
wonderful.
Bad.
No.
All right,
you
my
so
dear.
Much.
Thank you. Oh, you're very welcome. And I appreciate you calling in. Is this your first time listening to the show?
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm delighted that you've joined our listening family. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome, dear. And just pass it along. Pass along the information about the show to your friends. Thank you so much.
I have been.
Have a wonderful
Thank you.
You're
Bye-bye.
Welcome. Let's go to our next caller. This is Donna. Telephone number to call into 888-815-9756. Don't forget, tomorrow's an open mic day. Phone line will be open the entire hour. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, caller. Welcome. Hello? Oh, I don't hear them. Well, perhaps that phone line dropped. This is Donna Sebo, and I know we've only got a few minutes before we're going to be going off air. There are a number of things that I had wanted to share with you, but because our time is so short, I want to just make some little suggestions, information that has crossed my desk that I'd like to share with you. One, you want to watch out for new bank fees. Yes. Also with credit card fees. I'm telling you, it's really almost scary at times when you think of all these things that are changing so quickly because of all the confusion from so many different venues regarding fees. You've got to be sure that you check your bank statements. Apparently, the federal government is cracking down on out-of-control financial fees, and banks are on the lookout for new ways to make money. And that means services like free checking could fall by the wayside. However, these kinds of changes are not always broadcasted, and the notification of fees is simply sneaked into monthly statements. So you want to be alert and safe. You want to check any mail or online alerts from your bank to make sure you stay on top of any new changes. I'll tell you something that happened to me, and this was with a large banking system, and that is that they charge me if I deposit cash. Now, figure this one out. If you deposit, let's just make up a number, let's say $5,000 cash in a month, and they only allow you to deposit $3,000 cash in a month, and you don't even know that that's the case, then you're going to be charged 2 cents or for every dollar that you put in. That's right. They're charging you to put cash in the bank that goes into their system. They have added this fee. Now figure that one out. Why should you be charged for using your money to put in your account if it's cash? Credit cards, they don't care. They're collecting, you know, interest on that. It's just amazing. What is going on? Banking simple? Mm-mm, not anymore. This is Donna Sebo, and I know that we're out of time. Be sure that you note for tomorrow's show, our guest has canceled because of a filming with the History Channel, but we will be rescheduling him in October, and tomorrow will be an open mic day. So during the entire hour, those phone lines will be open for you to call into. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. I'm so delighted you were able to join me today, and I look forward to sharing another hour with you tomorrow right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.